Are you avoiding overwhelm? You just feel like there's too much going on, too much coming at you, and you just can't deal with it all. That's the subject of Company of One, episode number 90.
Welcome to the Company of One podcast featuring Dale Callahan. Dedicated to helping you find freedom in life and with your career. Learn how to not only increase your income, but take control of the income you acquire. Let's ignite that inner entrepreneur in you. Now, welcoming your host, Dale Callahan.
Hey, and I'm glad to be back here and talking about Company of One's view on overwhelm. Actually, it's not that view. A lot of this material here comes from my mastermind group. So I want to welcome you. This is Dale Callahan. I have just gotten back not too long ago from Dallas, Texas, where me and the other members of my mastermind group, minus one of us, but most of us got together. And one of the things that came up with us all the time, the entire time, and every time we get together on our weekly call is overwhelm. It's always that one of us is overwhelmed because of the business going on, because of the amount of things to do. And I think all of us, and probably you if you're listening to this, are feeling overwhelmed with what's going on, what's coming at you. Now think about this from an insanity point of view. We live in a very industrialized society, where we've created all kinds of mechanisms and robotics, and by robotics I mean we have things that will wash our dishes for us. We have things that will wash our clothing for us that we don't have to sit there and hand wring them. We have electronic systems that allow us to communicate with each other without driving, without going into meetings, without handwriting a letter. We have all kinds of mechanisms that help us and improve our efficiency, and therefore it should save us significant amounts of time. So if you think about going back in time 100 years ago, or maybe even longer, but you know, at least 100 years ago, you didn't have email. You may or may not have had the best phone service, if any. I don't know exactly what the years were. You probably didn't have a vehicle to go out and jump in, and certainly not the one reliable to the point it is now. Air travel, well, probably didn't have that. You know, how did you wash clothes and stuff like that? There were some mechanisms around. They weren't near as efficient and effective as they are now. So just think about overwhelm. You know, we're in a society that has more tools, more toys, more ability to get things done than anybody else in the world has ever had and ever seen. And we're overwhelmed because of the amount of stuff that we have to do. Now, of course, expectations grow with the ability. When everyone has the same ability, we need to get better and better and faster and faster. I get that. And that's just reality. We can fight against that, but that's just where we are. So it's just odd to see how much overwhelm that we've got out there that we think maybe that shouldn't be the case. But I want to share with you a few things that we talked about on the overwhelm issue. But before I jump right into that, and unfortunately I'm not sitting here. Matter of fact, I'm recording this from my iPhone as I'm waiting on my son to come out of a course he's doing. So speaking of overwhelm, he's an artist. He's in art class that he does. So I'm sitting here in the parking lot recording this because we have a great studio, we have all the great tools, I have all the ability to do stuff, but, you know, here I am, it didn't get done in the right time, and it's a matter of, you got to get it done, Dale. So, I totally get overwhelmed, but because of that, I'm not sitting in front of Twitter. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not sitting in front of iTunes. I don't see, you know, I was going to look at it and talk about some of you that thanking you. I thank you for those of you that have given me an iTunes review recently. Thank you so much for doing that. I do appreciate the reviews and appreciate the comments, appreciate the feedback and the emails and the Twitter and Facebook. And for those of you that follow me, I have created and I've told you I've, well, I only said it on Facebook, I think. But I'm not a big Facebookie, but I have been convinced to create a business Facebook page. It's under Dale Callahan. So I got two pages. I got a profile and a personal business page, both under my same name. It's probably pretty evident which one is which. One of them says business person or something like that on it. The other one's the, you know, your personal page. But I've went ahead and done that. And so if you come to the site, dalecallahan.com, go over there to the right, like my page. Come join me. I will be focusing, that page will be focused on the material from this podcast, the blog, and my coaching. And but I did tell people I was going to give some of you, give away some coaching sessions to some of the, you that if you would give me a review on iTunes, send me an email, and tell me that you've done that. I don't have that in front of me. Still doing that. I'll probably do that in a couple of weeks. So feel free to do that. Just go over there, and we're going to do some coaching. I'll just pick somebody randomly and do some, and send you an email to coaching. You've got to send me an email, though, because just the iTunes review, I don't know how to get in touch with you. There's no connectivity information there. I spent the other day at a women's conference for homeschoolers. This is the first time I've ever been invited to a women's retreat, but it was great. I got in there and we were talking about preparing your kids. A lot of the same stuff I do with adults. How do you keep your kids from not, how do you prevent them from ending up looking like we do? You know, in a career that wondering how we got here, feeling like we don't add any meaning, any value, anything like that. How do we keep our kids from going down that path? We talked about that. You know, so the great group of women, they were very focused and attentive and asked some pretty tough questions. But they really had a heart for how to accomplish this and how to, what was called the beginning with the end in mind. How do you prepare? So I think that group, it was awesome. It was the first time I've spoken to a homeschooling group, even though we have a homeschooling business. I don't do a lot of speaking in that group or that genre, if you will. A lot. So it was great to do that. But let me just jump right into overwhelm. Here's some things that we kind of came up with, and I don't have them kind of coordinated the way that they are on the website quite yet. But I'm going to just give you some principles that we came up with. Is number one, and I remember somebody said this at our meeting, and I won't quote him but he said, overwhelm is just an emotional condition. Now, I thought that was interesting. I kind of ticked me off when he first said that. I was like, what emotional condition? He said, yeah, it's just personal drama. And I thought about that, and I was like, wow, that could define me. How often do I get into a situation where I'm overwhelmed and I'm venting and I'm doing these kind of things? And instead of dealing with the issue and finding a way to step back, take a deep breath, and figure out how to get myself out of overwhelm. And by the way, you've got to get out of overwhelm. You cannot stay in that state continuously. But what we do is we more often complain about being overwhelmed. And that's what he meant by calling it drama. It's our own personal drama. And, you know, as we talked in our group, we were like, you know, you can go stand in front of the mirror. And I love Dave Ramsey says this all the time. You can go stand in front of the mirror and decide who you want to be tomorrow. You can just, I don't care what country you're listening to, because I know there's many, many countries. But I think all the countries that are listening to this, and forgive me if that's not the case, let me know if that's not the case, because I don't always know. But most of the people that are listening to podcasts, you're in an industrial country. You have a certain amount of freedom to do things. Now, you may or may have more or less, but you still have a lot of freedom of what you do and how you do it. Even in our culture in the United States, so many people, even though they have this freedom, they feel like they don't. They feel like they're stuck. But a lot of that's just emotional. It's how we view things. It's not reality. So when you think about it as emotional, when you think about how overwhelmed you are and you realize this is just my emotions talking, do what he was doing. Step back. You got to deal with emotions. Now, let me say that again, and you may have heard me say that, and you're disagreeing with that. No, you don't have to deal with it. You can stay in this state eternally. Well, not eternally, but you can stay in this state for a long time. Well, you can, but what are the costs? If you've listened to podcast number 89, where I deal with Steve and about pain and physical pain and backaches and migraines and the kind of things that go along with it, a lot of that, what Steve was talking about, is out of what we would label as anxiety. And anxiety, a lot of anxiety comes from overwhelm. I mean, these things are all related, right? So, you can stay there for a long time, but there's a cost. There's a physical and mental cost of doing that. So, what's something that you might do? You might just say no. How do you avoid overwhelm? You start exercising your no muscle. And maybe the other way to say that, I'll put a link in the show notes to the Essentialism book. It's a great book, the Essentialism. I mean, if you want to be convicted on this issue, read Essentialism. It's not a hard read, easy read, but still, I think, pretty convicting. How do you say no? Here's how you say no, is you find out what to say yes to. How do you define what to say yes to? Only the things when you say, Dale, would you be interested in doing that? And I'm like, heck yes. Yes. I couldn't wait for you to ask me to do this. You know those things? Those things you would almost pay to do? Those are your yeses. What we do so often is we say yes out of commitment, out of fear, out of fear of obligation. We're afraid that we won't be respected or liked if we say no. And by the way, those are not true. I find a lot of people who just say no, you get a tremendous amount of respect in of how they value their time. I know I've asked people to do things and they've said no, and that gives me the impression, well, these people are really, they have clear-cut priorities. They're more important than I thought they were. And maybe that's an impression. But saying no is not a bad thing. But you first, and this goes back to Stephen Covey, you first have to know what the big rocks are. What is it that you must say yes to? I do this a lot of times with companies. When they say, we've got 17 priorities. I'm like, no, you don't. That's a lie. Oh, no. Yeah, we do. We have all these things. And I love it in manufacturing plants. Production is very important and quality is very important. And they're equally important. No, they're not. No, that's a lie. And now they're told that they're equally important and there's pressure on one side or another when one of those begins to fail. But, you know, my question is, when the house starts burning down, when all things go haywire, what must happen? And in most of these cases, production must keep up even if quality suffers. Now, I don't know what that says about manufacturing. Some of it's because of their other metrics and quality mechanisms later on down the line. But I will drive these companies to the point, and sometimes these individuals to the point, to recognize there's not multiple priorities. Some things matter more than others. And sometimes you have to stop and evaluate and think about it before you realize what those things are. Essentialism is a great look to do that. Sometimes we need to, when we feel overwhelmed, we may need a vent or a release. Now, if overwhelm is not an evil thing, we do feel that. Maybe sometimes we need a vent or a release, meaning maybe I just need to go take a walk. I think it's Tony Robbins who says your emotion follows your motion. I may be misquoting that, but your emotion follows your emotion. When you get overwhelmed, down, frustrated, go for a walk, go work out, do something physical, and do this. One of our members of our group, she lives on the beach, and she said, you know, when I get overwhelmed, I go walk on the beach and just pray and meditate and invite the voice of God to answer. Now, we're all Christians at this group, so that's her perspective. But she says, when I do that, you know, I'm in motion, I'm outside, I get the breath of fresh air, I get perspective, I get clarity, and I realize a lot of what I'm, my overwhelm is I'm just muddled. It's just me. My thoughts are muddled. But even beyond that, how do you deal with it? You might grab someone that's close to you and have them listen. Right. If you just talk things out sometimes, have you ever noticed when you a friend of yours or your spouse or son or daughter is talking things out to you and you're not really saying anything and they're like, wow, thanks, you're really helpful. And you were like, I didn't say nothing. You know, and we talk our way into it just by having somebody to talk to. Now, unfortunately, sometimes, and maybe us husbands were worse about this, we start solving the problem. So my recommendation is maybe talk to your dog. Right? Because your dog is going to listen and really is never going to provide you any feedback. And if you don't have a dog, ask your friend that you might ask for advice and say, instead of getting advice from you, can I just talk to your dog? Just borrow the dog. You know, because you might be better off talking to the dog sometimes than the friend. But, I mean, sometimes you just need to vent. Now, obviously, there is value of venting and getting feedback. The mastermind groups that we do that. We vent a little bit. Here's what I'm frustrated about. And as we're asking each other questions, we begin to figure it out. It's rarely that one of us says, hey, John, this is your problem. Here's your answer. It's usually somebody says, why are you frustrated about that? Why are you overwhelmed? What else have you got going on? And then somebody else will say, well, wait a minute. What is your priority? I'm unclear. We'll ask a bunch of questions and they figure it out through the questions. Now, so if you've got friends that will do that, or family members that will do that for you, awesome, awesome, awesome. You get clarity by asking questions. Now, I love this. One of our members was telling me, he wrote up on the board, FOMO. He said, this is why we're overwhelmed. It's the fear of missing out. And you realize most of the things I say yes to, and probably most of the things you say yes to, it isn't so much out of obligation. It's out of, if I don't do this and somebody else does, how will I look? Or what will I miss out on? It's the fear of missing out. And I don't know if this was his coined phrase or anything, but we came up with JOMO, and maybe this is out of a book, I don't know. The joy of missing out. We thought, you know, there is some sense of joy of saying, I don't care. I'm stepping away from that. I've recently stepped away from a board position at a nonprofit organization. And there was a fear. I loved the people. I loved what they were doing. And there was a fear of missing out. But there was a great joy when I stepped away. Because, you know, what they were doing on a daily basis matters to me, but it doesn't matter that much. So if you can change your FOMO into JOMO, change your FOMO, your fear of missing out, to the joy of missing out. And you do that by getting that big yes, by understanding what is really, really clear. Now, I'll throw a couple of other things in here that came out of the meeting. One was, now, of course, we're Christians all in this group. I don't know what your faith base is, but that's part of our perspective. And this one fella says, you can't be wrong. He says, it's impossible to choose the right path. Every path you choose is God's plan. Now, as a Christian, that actually makes a lot of sense to me, and it may not to you, but it basically, as a Christian, I would understand if I'm going against God's direction, He's going to shove me back in the right direction. Maybe nudge, maybe kick me in the rear, maybe shove. And there's some truth to that we've seen. So the last thing, and this maybe should be the first thing, is exercise and nutrition. You know those things that we drop when things get busy? We're going to stay at the office late, so I'm going to go get a McDonald's burger, and I'm not going to go to for my daily walk, my daily run, my daily workout, whatever I do. I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to burn the midnight oil, and I burn it again. And in corporations these days, the midnight oil never goes out. I have a friend of mine who works for, works for an IT company. You know, and they've got in these 80-hour work week modes, and it's temporary. But temporary leads to a month, to 2 months, and it becomes a permanent lifestyle until somebody steps up and says, I'm not doing this anymore. It's devastating. You don't get productivity when you do that. You've got to take some time to unwind. Even if you're the boss and your employees, you want them to take time to unwind because they think better, they perform better. And nutrition and exercise is such a big point of that. One of our members, Jackie, was there, and she was I noticed she doesn't eat bread. And not to pick on her, but she doesn't eat bread. So I was asking her, I've noticed you don't eat bread. And I forget how I noticed it, but it's something very evident. And because I've paid attention to that, I was in tune to that. So I wasn't just watching everything she ate. But she started telling me that she kind of went through this bread thing, and she was had read the book Grain Brain or Wheat Belly, one or both of those. And so she experimented with it and realized she had more energy when she didn't eat it. So it wasn't so much about diet, about health, everything. She just said, I realize when I eat a certain way, when I pay a lot better attention to what I eat, I have more energy. And I want more energy. You know, and instead of being, I'm trying to lose weight or I'm diabetic or, you know, some of these other reasons, hers was, I desire my energy and my ability to get things done. That's important to me. So these are a couple ideas, though, and I've just rambled things out. I am literally reading off a list. I will put them. They will be at dalecallahan.com/90. I appreciate your time. Hey, this is an issue that we all struggle with. Tell me what you think. What have I missed? Go on Facebook, on my new Facebook page, and post something. Hey, Dale, you here? And I'll post this to it, and tell me what is missing. What do you do to avoid overwhelm? Or what do you do to recover once you get overwhelmed?